I still remember when you used to be able to come to the end of the YouTube scroll. Some of you may be too young to have a memory like this. There was no such thing, at first, as an endless scroll on the internet. Not when it started. There was no video after video after video. It wasn't so easy to just swipe forever. You could actually reach the end of the suggestions on the YouTube page. And if you hadn't found something you wanted to click on, you had to refresh the page and get a whole new slew of still limited suggestions. But that was all over in 2019 when somebody went ahead and had the idea for infinite scrolling. He said he later regretted it, but likely if he hadn't, someone else would have thought of it. There's a tremendous effort, as I'm sure you know, to keep our eyes on the screen. And for many people, it's working all too well. This is one of the reasons why I do an audio-only version of the 10 Crutches podcast. I feel like it's a good idea to get your eyes off the screen, at least for some time, to just listen. Kind of like radio was before television came along. You just listen, and the eyes can wander where they will. Unless you are scrolling on something else while you're listening. Ours is a gluttony-permeated society. We are encouraged to eat and drink past our fill, to obey our thirst, to increase the size of the food order we have. Just this harmless name called supersizing. The meaning of gluttony is simply to overeat, overdrink, overindulge our appetites way past what is needed by the body. I think of gluttony as using the body to avoid a problem of the mind, like anxiety, for example. And that's what I want to talk about today. Hello, and welcome to the 10 Crutches podcast. My name is David. I'm glad you're here. All the apps, all the platforms, all of them started out as places that stopped. Places that had an end, places that gave you a clue for what the end was. But now you can scroll forever. It's one of the reasons that people find it hard to stop using their phones, hard to stop reaching for them whenever they have a free moment. I've spent the past year trying to wean myself from using my phone so much, and it's still really hard. I often reach for the phone in a moment of boredom and just look at my hand there, reaching for the phone, feeling that desire. It's tough. During a moment of boredom, what are you supposed to do? Just stand there and wait for the elevator? Just ride the bus, look out the window? I think of that moment of boredom as having no cues. Las Vegas casinos and other casinos everywhere use this concept of no cues to keep people inside the casino. The machines and tables are laid out deliberately to avoid corners, for example, to avoid an end to a path you are walking. The paths force you to walk in circles to lose track of where the exit is, sometimes not even to be able to see the exit from different vantage points. When do you stop gambling? When do you stop putting money in the slot machine? After the switch from putting quarters into the one-armed bandit, you now have a personalized card you give to the slot machine. Now the machine knows you are playing, knows how to adjust itself to maximize your playing time. The machine now plays you. The thing is, the original endless scroll, the original lack of clues for knowing when to stop already, exists within our minds. We have an endless scroll already occurring in our minds. Some traditions call it a, quote, monkey mind. The human mind jumps from topic to topic to topic like a monkey jumps from tree to tree to tree. Anybody who has spent any time meditating knows all about this. If you are not familiar with meditation, I will simply say, meditation is an activity where you simplify things enough so that you can meditate on something, a single thing. You pay attention to something very, very simple, perhaps your breath going in and out of your lungs. By adopting a simple, upright posture and not moving around, you clear the ground to meditate. When you pay attention to your breath, really try to focus on your breath, you may find it very difficult. The monkey mind keeps jumping around and around and around. So one thing about meditation is that it's not so easy to have a quiet mind. If you try to, for example, count your breaths, it's often an instruction given to beginners. Count your breaths like an inhale for one, exhale for two. Inhale three, exhale four. And you can just keep going like that up to 10, and then you start again. You notice it's quite easy to lose track of the breaths. When I try it, my meditation, and when it involves counting breaths like that up to 10 and then starting over at 1, I very, very often have to keep starting over and over, like at 1 or at 2. I make it up to 4, I'm like really happy. So maybe I get up to 4 and then I lose track. And then after that, all of a sudden I realize I've been thinking about something for the past 5 minutes or the past 20 minutes. I haven't even counted any of my breaths. Of course, some people care a lot about how much jumping around the mind is doing. Between the memories and the fantasies and the concerns and the anxieties, it can seem as if there is no stopping the mind. It seems like thinking will, in some ways, go on forever and ever about this or that or the other thing or everything. There are some people who report an experience we maybe would call stopping the mind. This is when the thinking mind just stops, and I guess life just continues. It just continues without the mind building up much of anything. I've never had that experience. I used to chase after such things, but I don't anymore. If my mind ever happens to stop, then I guess it'll happen to stop. And then I can only hope it starts up again, especially if someone's asking me if I want a cup of coffee. So, some people get concerned with how addicted they are to screens, how easy it is to reach for their phone during some moment when nothing is happening, when you're on the bus. We talked about that earlier. It sure can seem like nothing's happening. That's because there's nothing happening that will entertain you as much as your phone, so it seems like nothing. The way a cigarette butt is lying on the floor of the bus. The way a discarded water bottle rolls back and forth as the bus moves. The sounds of the bus. This person's shoes sitting across from you. That person's necklace. The traffic. The things happening outside the window. Real things are happening. But you would have to stop looking for such a high degree of action and movement for these realities to enter you. For any people listening who are concerned with their phone or screen use and their possible addiction, there's a lot of help you can get on the internet about how to let go and about how important it is to be able to let go. Of course, the downside is that you need your screen to figure out how to get off the screen. In a similar way for those of us that meditate, how do you use your mind to stop your mind? Well, the answer is you don't. For me, the first thing is to start asking some questions. Why? Why? Why do you want to stop your mind? Why do you believe you need to? What do you think you're going to see that's different than what's already all around you? Yet the desire to stop thinking and the whole project of improving yourself, the whole project of making yourself better by becoming someone who thinks clearly, who has a quiet mind, that's a great project. That's a great aspiration. It's wonderful because it may get you to start meditating, to learn meditation, to keep meditating, but at the same time, this aspiration to be free of thought needs to be recognized for what it is. It is simply more thought. the whole desire to think less, the desire for the monkey mind to go away, the belief that there's a problem at all in the first place, all of that is a function of the mind. You have to have some imaginary place you want to get to. You have to think of someone who you could be, someone who you should be. You have to have some picture of that future you. Plus, you have to have some scale of values that shows clearly how this imaginary person you could be is so much better than the person who you actually are. So all of this imagining and comparing is a gigantic undertaking of the mind. As such, it is not very different from a movement of the mind that has a memory of a lunch you had last week with a friend. It's the same movement of the mind, it's just different content. If you're sitting and you're looking at your phone and watching a video about how important it is to get off your phone, a video about how much you'll feel better if you just stop staring at this little screen, you may be nodding and agreeing and feeling so much like, oh, that's so true. But in the end, there you are looking at your phone to watch a video about getting off your phone. In a very similar way, when part of the endless scroll of your mind is about how to stop the endless scroll of your mind, how to somehow get your mind under control, well then, it's really just the same thing. What is it you do instead? Well, that's why people group together and practice meditation together. It's how meditators encourage each other, simply by their presence, by their silent effort. What you do is you just simply keep sitting for a little while each day. You sit on your meditation cushions kind of like the way a turtle sits on a rock. You have a reptile brain. Just keep going. You're so busy watching the endless movements, watching the endless scroll of the mind. Just come back as often as you can and start again from the present moment. There is more to life than what happens in your mind. If you wonder, am I doing it right? Am I meditating correctly? Well, find a teacher and ask. The endless scroll of the human mind can become less interesting than the endless scroll of the human breath, because that's something that goes on and on as well. As your mind keeps generating thoughts, the body keeps generating breaths, and reality keeps generating all the little sounds and movements and bird chirps and car doors shutting and all the rest of it that happens while you meditate. Reality doesn't need you to keep going, but as long as you're here, why not find out what's happening beyond the scroll of your mind? What is any particular moment of your life? What is compelling to you at any particular moment, at any present moment? Your breath? Your mind's wandering thoughts? Yet more little videos to watch on your screen? You can never get out of the endless scroll of the mind by thinking your way out, or worrying about it, or planning to get out of it, or imagining that someday you will be out of it, because you won't. Screen addiction is a mirror of mind addiction. Once you've seen how each and every video is essentially the same, putting down your phone is a bit easier. You pick it up when you need to. Once you've seen how each and every thought is essentially the same, you can return to your breath. You can return to any particular present moment without any regret. And then the thoughts will be there if you need them. The thoughts will be back, and likely you'll pick up your phone again at some point or another. But reality will always be there, patiently waiting for your attention. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you next time. please visit the home of the 10 Crutches podcast at 10crutches.link. That's 10crutches.link. The book that inspired the podcast, a book I wrote called 10 Crutches for Walking in the Present, is available for free download on the website. While you are there, please take advantage of two ways to contact me. You can send me an email, or you can make a voice recording. If you have a great question, I may be able to use it for the podcast. Also on the website, you can visit the archive to hear any published episode and see show notes for any and every show. Thanks so much for listening. And once again, thanks so much for listening. And I won't say it once again. See you next time.